In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We're going to be looking now at the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 12th Sunday of the year. And the theme, mostly highlighted by the Gospel, is redemptive suffering. However, the first reading of Paul's here also has something to say to that. But our first 15 minutes, as usual, is going to be devoted to the theme or some aspect of the theme. We're going to start with the famous text. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God. So he's saying, he's rejoicing that his life is bound up with the Lord Christ's life, and together they are suffering. And this suffering is building up the church. He often calls the church the Christ, and we'll see some examples of that in, I think, what we're going to look at today. This is very important because it shows you, me, everybody, how totally bound up with the church is the Lord, or better perhaps, how totally bound up the church is with the Lord. There are places where he simply calls the church the Christ. For instance, in Corinthians, just as the body has many members and all the bodies, you know, all the members make up one, so it is with the Christ. But he doesn't mean Jesus. He means the church. And there are other quotes like that. If I come across another while I'm doing this, I'll point it out. Well, one, what is I fill up in my body, what is wanting to the sufferings of the Christ? Well, what is wanting to the sufferings of the Christ? And the saints who are invited into this and accept the invitations are the ones who are most overflowing with joy, because the very drive of Jesus is in them. And they are willing, they're happy to be with him and join to him. Remember how Therese used to say, when I die and I go to heaven, God the Father is going to get off his throne and give me a big hug and say, now it's my turn. So we're looking at this, and we can pray to be brought more deeply into this mystery. But we don't want to pretend we're there when we're not, because then we could be playing over our heads. But I want to consider these texts for a moment now. Some places where Paul particularly talks about suffering. And apart from these things, this is 2 Corinthians 11, 28-29. Apart from these things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is led to sin and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. That's what I'm proud of. I get shipwrecked. People don't like me. I mean, those are the things that I boast of, you see. And now another one. And so, let no one give me any trouble, because I bear the stigmata, the brand marks of Jesus in my body. And one of the commentators has a really beautiful line on this. Already it is evident that the body of man the focus of suffering in this world, was viewed by Paul as the sphere where Christ's rule becomes visibly evident. And that is what we read in all the saints, their joy to be that bound and in union with Christ, whom they love. And so we're just going to look at some more of these now. For instance, in Philippians 3, to know him and the power of his resurrection and have communion in his pathimata, his sufferings, conform to his death, if somehow I might arise from a resurrection from the dead. So what does he want? You see, to know him and the power of his resurrection and communion in his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now this is a great mystery. What's being said is that the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, by that act of love in which he died and all that led up to it, has saved the world. And yet, the whole Christ must participate in this. And those who are led into this mystery are filled with great joy. And that's what he says. He even says it here, you know. It is now my happiness to suffer and fill up in what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. In another place in Philippians, it is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. That's a very mature person. I don't care whether I live or die. It's just whether Christ, you know, is being glorified. And as I say, that text there from Jewett, it is already evident that the body of man, the focus of suffering in this world, was viewed by Paul as the sphere where Christ's rule becomes visibly evident. People who love the Lord and are in union with him and suffer in union with him are those who have an unbelievable joy. And we say, that's really hard to figure out. It is. Unless it starts to happen to us, we'll just believe it, but we won't know it. And now is another text, also Philippians 3:20-21. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be make his glorious body by the power which enables him to subject all things to himself. Now this is another text. I'm just going through here. This is 2 Corinthians 1:4-7. But we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. You notice that, right? Here we go, man, we're going to be Christian, and then we get a cold. And we kind of run out of gas. It's earthen vessel. That the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. If you meet a very holy person, and they know this is going on, you can see it yourself, that it's going on in them. Huh? For we who are alive are being constantly given up to death for the sake of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Take Mother Teresa. By the end of her life, she was really short, you know, and she had to hold on to somebody's hand because she was so bent over. When you get near her, what do you suffer? What do you experience? Suffering? No. Joy. Joy. Why? Because that's union with the Lord. You know, there's a famous story told as well, of the martyrdom of Saints Felicity and Perpetua. Actually, Perpetua and Felicity. Perpetua was a noble woman, and Felicity was her maid. And they were both arrested and thrown into prison to be martyred, thrown out to the beasts. Well, Felicity was pregnant, so she was giving birth in jail. And the jailer hollered in, "If you're moaning and groaning like that now, what are you going to do when you get out there?" And she said, "You know what? I don't worry about that. Out there, another will be suffering in me. Jesus will be there. I don't have to worry about that." So you see, that's this whole notion of redemptive suffering. You see, the mystery is that the Christ is the church. As Paul says, I've quoted them to you, you know, and the Christ has this vocation. So we are filling up. Not that it lacks anything, but that it has to have a wider spread, has to be more rooted, inserted into humanity. And so those who yield to the Lord share that passion. What happens to them? Of course they suffer. Therese once said, you know, "Lord, can you take it easy?" I don't know if he did or not, but I imagine he did for a while because he loves her. "No, it is now my joy to suffer for you and make up in my body what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ." There's nothing wanting to the sufferings of Jesus, but the stuff wanting to the sufferings of the Christ, namely the church. And to be suffering like that is to be in union with Jesus and to know it. And there's nothing more glorious in life than to know that you are in union with Jesus, locked into a union of love that nobody can separate except you, if you want. But you'd be nuts to turn away from the Lord and sin. We can all do it, God knows. And we have enough little sins. But that doesn't break the bond. And so this notion, you see, we could look at our Lord himself. Huh? "Now I have a baptism with which I am to be baptized, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. I can hardly wait." Why? Because I'm going to save the whole world. And I'm delighted about that. It's going to cost me a lot. And when I really face it in the garden, and I see, you know, all the people who won't pay any attention to it, and I see the waves of dark waves that are coming at me to overwhelm me, I say, in effect, "Father, if there's any other way, I take it. But not what I want, but what you want." And that's the turning point. As St. Maximus says, we are saved by the human decision of a divine person. And so, for us, the secret is to say, "Jesus, all of this suffering that can bind me to you and build the church and save humanity, I buy into. Though I'm scared to death. You know, I'm not good at this. But if you suffer in me, I'll be good at it." You see? And we find people like this. Oh, as a priest going to a hospital, and people who, just regular Sunday golfers, just know enough to know that they're giving these sufferings to God the Father. And that's the mystery of our text today, especially the Gospel. Amen.